So what's on your mind?
What's up? Kristen, do you want to, you take this first and then I'll collect my thoughts a little bit on that question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Is that okay?
Yep. So kind, we are kind of starting to get with the rolling, you know, of the schedule calls and, you know, I'm getting together the notes and I guess what my question is between all of these client calls, is there a way, Rob, that you can recommend or have any good tips on? I'm finding it very hard to organize, you know, when Eric says he sends up the summary of the conversation email. And I'm having a very hard time grasping of, you know, how do I know that some of the things in his email are getting actioned on, what needs to be actioned on, who is actioning on it, you know, just organizing the task part of those calls and, you know, what is the best practice for that?
I would say that's a team issue. So that's an Eric okay. issue. So Eric, okay. you need to not just take notes, but say, Chrissy, your responsibility. Responsibility, Chrissy. RSP, responsibility, Chrissy. And date due.
Okay.
So, okay.
Responsibility, Eric. Yeah. Yeah. Right? Responsibility, client.
Yeah.
And the date due. So that's more of a communication issue.
Okay.
Accountability issue. So good question. And very understandable, and Eric, not punching holes on you, just.
Oh, no, absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, you're doing it for the first time. It's like, yeah. How are we supposed to do this? You know?
Well, and we're doing more stuff than we've ever done, right? So, right. And so just the sheer quantity of it, and then also with us working a mixture of remote and in the office, communication is going to be evidently important.
Those three things then would be the things that you make sure that you put in your executive summary. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you send to the client, this is what we agreed on. 1, 2, 3. This is what I'm going to do. This is what, you know, and you can just say me, right?
Yeah.
And then this, by the way, is what you're going to do, Mr. Client.
And I've been doing that. It's just so what we've got is we've got a couple of issues. One is, my note taking needs to improve. Step one. Step two is we've got a lag time between when my folders. So right now I'm in my basement. Kristen's in the office.
Right.
So I've got calls this week. I'm making notes and folders. I'm sending email summaries, but Kristen doesn't get the folders back until 5 days later. It's not the end of the world by any stretch of the imagination. But what needs to happen is we need to work out a way to communicate what needs to be done as a result of the call and speed it up.
The call I was on before this, the FA was talking about a company called Remarkable.
Okay,
Remarkable. R-E with a big M, Markable. And I'm gonna try it, okay? The idea, it's a black and white tablet that you write on. But according to him, once you set it up, whatever you write on there goes to whoever you want it to go to.
Right.
So you basically Bluetooth it and you go on an app and so you'd send your notes immediately to Chrissy.
Right.
He would then have them and no delay.
Right.
All right. Yeah. Now, does that mean we get rid of the folders? Maybe. But let's do this step first, okay?
The folders are valuable for me. I'm just to have a physical thing in a job where it's very hard to see what you've done at the end of the day. there's something nice to have a physical shipment of something, right? So
I completely agree. Mine are right here, right? Yeah. Monday here, Wednesday here, and my other project over there, right? I got six committees in a big project I'm working on.
Right.
All organized, but I'm going to try this note thing because then I can include Cindy or whoever else I need to when I'm working on something. And yeah. I think it might be more interesting than just typing. And the other thing, Eric, if you're meeting with a client and you're sitting there and I'm typing here, right? On my computer and my client's over here. It's kind of rude, right? Like the doctors have to do that now. They're typing while they're talking to you. Well, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, this is really boring. I don't like this. This is not fun.
Yeah.
Instead, you've got your pad and you're looking at the client and you're taking notes and you're looking at them and you're taking notes, right? So what you do on a yellow pad, but this might be better.
Right.
If it works. Now just read some reviews. So this is like within the last
hot off the press
15 minutes, right?
Yeah.
So I just read a review before I called you and it sounded pretty good. We've been waiting for this. We've tried all these others. This actually works. And it's,
Well, that's good to know.
For productivity, right?
Yeah. Well, and, this is a military phrase, but it's something that I revisit regularly, which is don't give a command that can be understood. Give one that cannot be misunderstood, which is two very different things, right? And so what I need to work on my communication with Kristen on delegation is give instructions that cannot be misunderstood. Because right now my notes, as she reads through them, she's picking up, she reads the action items that are coming through. Some of them I've done, some of them I haven't done, some, you know, those kinds of things. So we, as a stopgap, what we've done is we've put another page in my folders, where it has action items, Eric, action items, Kristen, just to simplify it further, right? But, the also thing, next thing is getting it out of the folder and into our workflow. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I think this might be, you might not need it for anything. You might still take your notes in your folder,
right.
But then when you're doing your executive summary, you could just write it there on this notepad. I don't know. You think about it.
Absolutely. Definitely open to experimenting. We don't have a monopoly on good ideas. That's for sure.
Yeah. And you know, anytime we can get technology to advance us, technology really never did an awful lot for us in terms of productivity until COVID hit.
Right.
And then all of a sudden technology has advanced us 7 years in 7 months.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. So I'm very interested in everything we can get that is going to make life easier and faster and more efficient. I mean, for us, DocuSign, it's like a miracle, right?
Right.
Not for me, but for when I'm working on a project or somebody wants me to sign something.
Yeah.
Sign it and it's over. I don't have to wait, you know, send it and fax it. And...
Yeah. We're just crossing that bridge right now. We do have something in place that we can use for letters of direction and stuff like that. We're not quite at the point where we can use it for account opening, but there's some stuff that's coming through that way. So it's, our industry is slow to adopt things.
Oh,
painfully slow.
Whole industry. It's like we take a day to open up an account and the international is worse.
Yeah.
You know, they'll take a week to open up an account. And just because of all the compliance and all that stuff, make it one signature. You know, why should you torture the client?
Yeah.
One signature, read it all, sign it.
Once the legal department got as big as it did, right? And once we would, so when I started in the industry, we used to have, and sorry, this is burning time, but, we used to, all of our client account agreements were in booklet that had carbon paper in them, right? So that's how you got your, that's how you made your numerous copies. But the thing I loved about that, looking back on it, was very expensive to change those documents. But now the documents are in a PDF. What's another paragraph of disclaimers? What's another page for a signature? Easy peasy, because they don't have to reprint thousands and thousands of these expensive things, right? It changed the equation a little bit, and it's frustrating, but
you're right. Easy to change. Well, Chrissy, what else? What other questions?
That was really the only thing that I kind of brought up with Eric this week, is just kind of getting a handle on the tasks and how do I know if it's been done and or if he was expecting me to do it. So that was all that I had.
And then on my mind, and you know, it is a funny one, but I'm just putting the finishing touches on the business plan, which is ironic that it's, you know, we're week six, and I'm putting the finishing touches on the business plan. But as director of leadership, I was, you know, I have built we've built a spreadsheet that's the Supernova dashboard, if you will. So it's got our giving boards, it's got our client list, it's got our implementation of wealth planning dashboard on there, and it's got a business finances dashboard, if you will, right? So revenue, assets, goals, targets. When I was doing the business plan, it actually felt like I shouldn't put specific revenue and asset targets in this year. It felt like if we do all of the things that we're going to do through this process, then we will have a positive outcome. But it's as though I almost don't want to focus on revenue and assets. I want to focus on doing this right, which was interesting because I felt like I would just be putting in a target for the sake of having a target, because it didn't seem like the most important thing right now. The most important thing was getting to these meetings on time, making sure they're meaningful, following up, committing to it, and adding to the bank of trust. So it was an interesting piece there. So I don't know if I will put a revenue figure in there. We've got a dashboard, we track it closely, but
that's why, you know, the giving board or the game board is so important, because if you get the activities right and you commit to those activities being sacred, then the revenues will come. It's like putting the client in the center of the plan instead of us. You know, when we put the client in the center, we do everything for the client. That's when we win, instead of us putting ourselves in the center. And then it'd be easier to call them quarterly than monthly, you know. That's self-centered versus client-centered. So, I wouldn't be upset by putting down numbers. I think numbers are good. They help you get focused, and you kind of see, and it's sort of magical to see it actually happen. And so I wouldn't give up on that, but I would understand the psychology of what you're going through and kind of enjoy it and say, hey, I'm in a different place right now. So good.
So that's, I guess that was what was on my mind. I was just having that realization. So.
Questions on this week? Accountability, scheduling, workflow.
So,
we've talked about the enthusiastically endorsed list.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, you know, the enthusiastically endorsed list can turn into a really valuable tool for you. Mm-hmm. Everybody on there could theoretically be a center of influence.
Right.
You don't have to have a CPA to be a center of influence. It could be your gardener, right, who is the best in the world, and everybody loves him, and he only does business with the best people in the country. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's more a matter of sticking to it, not giving these out to everybody. You know, that list is valuable, and you want to give it to the people that will value it. No jerks allowed, either giving or receiving. So you don't act as a connector between jerks.
Right.
That's the important thing, because if you give, you know, you, let's say you've got a anybody, let's just say a lawyer, and you recommend that lawyer, and that person you gave them to is unreasonable. That's a bad reflection on you, because that lawyer will spend extra time to fulfill whatever it is that, because of your relationship. But he'll resent the fact that you gave him to a jerk.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's very important to understand both sides. It's not just getting the right enthusiastically endorsed list, but it's also giving them to the right people and not making, you know, I had neighbors who I dearly enjoyed and liked them, but I could never refer any of our people to them.
Right.
They were just rude people to anybody that worked for them.
Yeah.
And they would beat you up on price and then beat you up on the job and beat you. And the, my people would say, you know, I would never work for them. They knew.
Right.
So, and you know, that's important.
Yeah. You know, this just popped in my mind, kind of through the fog here. Maybe you can help me with this. Here's an interesting case that we've got. We've got a client who was a shareholder in a family business that's since been sold. Right? And her brothers, the reason she has an account with us is because her siblings have accounts with us, and they used to handle her finances. And she has troubles making decisions. She has troubles following through with commitments, things like that. And she's a little scattered at times. So there is way more money than what we have. And I'm at a point, though, where... So me as a caring individual... I want her to work with us because I don't want her to be taken advantage of. And the rest of her family trusts us. And they find comfort in that she's working with us and they can sleep well at night. The problem being, though, is she's a brand risk.
She's a what?
She's a risk to the brand. I introduced 1242. We set up a meeting, called her on the appointed time. She missed it. She sent me an email, text saying, you know, sorry, I'll try you on Monday. This, that, and the other, all of these other issues and so on and so forth. So it's one of these things where she is absolutely a brand risk and a distraction. But, so I'm almost at the point where we should consider segmenting her out. She's not a jerk.
No.
She just maybe has some mental illness, perhaps. And if that's the easy way to describe it. So that's one of the struggles that I've got right now. And that every other client's been wonderful. It's just this one is, and maybe just the
who
fact that I'm thinking about it.
Who referred her to you?
Her sibling.
All right. Can you have a conversation?
That's probably the right thing to do, is talk to the sibling and explain what's going on. But,
yeah. You know, you want to have confidentiality, but he or she referred them to you, to you. You've got an obligation to go back to that person and say, look, you know, this is becoming difficult.
Right.
And you know, I out of respect for you, I want to, you know, and it's your family. If you don't mind, I'd like to share with you a little bit about my concerns.
Right.
Can you help me with this? Does this, you know, happen all the time with everybody? Do we need, you know, because you may need, if there's some issues that are serious, it may come to the point where you need a power of attorney.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just one of these things where it's, so she's got $2.5 million with us and she's got $15 million. That's just sitting in a checking account because she has cash checks, but hasn't done anything with it. Right. Like this is a big, big thing. And I'm working with the accountant to try and figure it out, to try and figure out how we communicate, how we move the needle on this, because he seems to have made the odd breakthrough with her, but it's getting exhausting.
Yeah, I would talk to the brother or the sister, whoever referred it to you, and say, you know, I'm very concerned here.
Yeah.
Can you shed some light on it or help me or give me some advice? Because I don't feel like this is going in the right direction.
Yeah. And I know I took that was a bit of a layup, but I think I just wanted somebody to talk to. So I appreciate it. Thanks, Ralph.
No, it's just like, you don't, I mean, look, the truth is this is a very lonely job.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of decisions to make. Well, some of them seem real obvious.
Yeah.
But they're not easy. And so, no, case study work is where that's what I love, right? That's what I did forever. People would bring cases to me and go, what do you think? I got this opportunity. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think?
Right.
And so that's fun for me. I've seen a lot and can help.
Right. Cool. Well, that's good. I like that, that approach. And that gives me a reason to open up a line of communication with, we're really fortunate to work with this family. But they, you know, they sold their business for $250 million. And, we work with, two siblings, but there's four others. So there's more money out there. So that gives me a reasonable in for that prospect to reignite a conversation.
Yeah, because you just care. I mean, that's the key, is that you care. And it doesn't seem to be, you know, this doesn't make a lot of rational sense.
Yeah.
Okay. What else?
Well, you know what? Why don't I just burn through the week 6 assignment just to use that as a framework to discuss. I don't have a laundry list of things wrong. So, certainly if there's anything you want to cover with us, but, so director of planning. Was the progress on client segmentation? Were you able to?
There's somebody in the background.
Do you want to mute your line, Kristen?
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Thanks.
So where are we at on progress with client segmentation? So, we've got one more that we're going to segment out here, this month when some term investments mature. Then we'll have that discussion. As far as, the 24-month calendar, we've got that. Chris and I just met on it yesterday. We're starting to incorporate the January, piece into our agendas that are going out for the January, meetings and folders and stuff like that. So that's coming along nicely. Director of implementation, that's me as well. So, 24-month calendar is done. And what we're doing, Rob, for implementation of wealth planning is our planning software, allows us to link the client accounts to the software. So what I'm doing is every time I call a client and introduce Supernova, I'm opening up a fresh plan if they don't already have one and linking their accounts. That's step one. Right. So then every single client will, by the end of this month, will have a wealth plan started with some of their assets linked. Then what I'm doing, and I've got a dashboard on that. And then, so what I'm doing is next call, I'll confirm income. Call after that, I'll confirm assets. Call after that, I'll confirm liabilities. 12 months, we'll have 100% plan implementation or plan production, maybe not full implementation. Right. So the next step is actioning the items that come through, right? Right. So that's coming along, and we're just eating that elephant one bite at a time. And then also on the investment side. So our business, we've got three distinct departments, if you will. We've got traditional, which is commission per transaction, and also I'm going to say fee-based, but self-directed client accounts, right? So I call them, pitch an idea, they call me, we bounce things off. Very inefficient, legacy business, and not where the future is. But what I've done is I've taken all of the holdings in that code, and now with some help created a pivot table, and I can see positions that are only held in one account. So then that's going to be I'm going to start eating that elephant, is saying, okay, that investment needs to be sold and moved into this investment, which is now within the model, right? So I've built models for the legacy traditional business, different asset sizes, things like that. And I've got a investment list. So that's how that's going to get eaten. The second piece of our business is managed accounts. So I'm a portfolio manager. I manage discretionary assets. That's where the future is. So we're going to continue moving more assets that way as that comes through. And from within that, those are model based, and I've been running that for 2 years now and seen remarkable growth there on that. So, and I don't mean returns, but client take up.
Yes.
That's where new clients go. That is the offering. And then the third business is a legacy, where we've got a third party portfolio manager that trades on the assets and we're the custodian. That's going to be its own piece, and that because of the family that has entrusted those assets with us as custodians, we need to maintain that, but there is a way to run it. There are ways to run it more efficiently, and we're getting better at that and capturing more margin off that business, I would say. So within that, I've got dashboards and plans in place for all of those items and implementing them little bits at a time. So eventually over 24 months, the goal is to get a harmonized book where most of the holdings are concise and can be follow them and action them, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Cause before I didn't have a mechanism to move a new position in and an old position out on a broad basis. For the self-directed clients. So that's coming together. Kristen's director of brand. I don't know if you want to come off of, mute, Kristen, just give us a quick update on, you know, progress building folders, scheduling meetings and using the scheduling tool.
Yeah. So the building folders have been going really well. Right now I'm all caught up to date with like December phone calls. So I'm starting to prepare the ones that we're starting to meet in January. So folders are going well. Scheduling client meetings has gone really well as well. The scheduling tool is great. It's one of the only ways I think I can actually keep track of who, you know, when you're looking at it, what day and, you know, time is available. The only thing that I keep thinking about, which I just tell myself, Eric and I will have to discuss at a later date. It's, what are we going to do with the daylight savings time?
You know what? Let's make that decision right now. Client's just going to get an earlier phone call. So we're not going to change.
We're not going to change our time. They'll have to change theirs.
And if it becomes inconvenient, then we'll find another time in the calendar for them.
Okay. Yeah. Let's
Because otherwise we'll have a beast that we can't manage.
Yeah. No. And I agree. And it's been at the back of my mind. So, and that's the thing I'm trying to keep track of. Well, this is what their time is versus what our time is. So yeah. I think maybe
let's just make that decision.
And then you go back, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the problem is we don't change, Rob. Right. So in Saskatchewan, we don't change our clocks. So we're
be changing all the time, and you guys would have to be changing to accommodate them. And
yeah,
that makes you crazy. So I agree. Just leave it.
Perfect.
Because you'll be back to this time, you know, next year, right? When you come off of daylight savings time.
Yeah.
So then I guess when we do that, I'll have to resend out the service, like the commitment reminders.
Oh, right. Because we have a fixed time in place.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. We'll identify the individuals that are in different time zones and we'll,
I've started keeping a list right now. So I, you know, I have one.
It was very forward thinking of you, Kristen. Thank you for doing that.
So, yeah.
Okay, cool. So yeah, we'll manage that. And, you know, if a BC client has to, reschedule because it's too early for them, then so be it. We'll find a new spot in the calendar for them.
Anything else?
Leadership. So I'm 12-4-2-ing Kristen and actually, my dad, and myself, as director of leadership. It was a really nice exercise to go through, to talk to Kristen about goals and aspirations, talk to my dad about what he hopes to achieve over the next 12 months and, where he's going to find value in his time and things like that. So, and, myself as well to, you know,
was that a surprise to him?
It was. It's the first time. So it's in the calendar. It was scheduled. He was prepared for the call. We had a great call. You know, it was fun, actually. It was really fun. And he's excited about me helping him progress some items over the next 12 months. You know, marketing. I would say so Kristen's director of marketing, but it falls back on me directly with the action on that. So progress on scheduling COIs, prospects, clients. So the COI piece, I haven't moved the needle on that, other than talking to one COI, haven't really, introduced Supernova to him or Supernova'd him. I recognize that that's the most important part of this is getting that engine going. So that's, you know, it feels like I don't have space for marketing right now. So I need to work on that.
Well, think about also building a niche or, you know, you have your niches, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, think about, you also have your centers of influence inside each of those niches. The question is now, can you build other influencers that service that niche so you create a mastermind group that can all together better service that niche?
Right.
They all, you know, it's when everybody has something in common that they're trying to accomplish that they all do better.
I just realized to do better. So clients. So a lot of our clients are agriculture experts, run large farming organizations. I was talking to one the other day. They're saving money at about a rate of $500,000 a year for an anticipated land purchase sometime in the next 10 years. And, you know, it would be a tack on for their farm, but it's like $7 million in land. In that conversation, they said, you know, our commodity specialist was telling us that, you know, we know our numbers better than most of the other, people they work with. I didn't ask the question, who's your commodity specialist? I just realized that I didn't ask that question. And I need to. So. There's an example of a mastermind and COO.
They're going to have people in common. Yeah. That they, you know, that they work with.
Yeah.
And they can tell you who those people are. Yeah. And then you work with them to try and be a better service to all of those clients, right? All of you have the same thing in common. You all want to help them be better at what they do.
Yeah. Cool. Anything you need from us, Rob?
No, it's the time to do the planning though. And so when you're doing your planning and you're looking at your marketing effort, make sure that at this point you should be building your centers of influence, your niches, and thinking about, you know, your mastermind group around that niche. That's the ultimate. You know, I was talking to a guy today. I said, you know, you really have an obligation to the community to do a great job at helping people that are selling their farms, selling their practices, selling their whatever, that they not just be, just think about it, right? It's the most important event of their life.
Yeah.
It's more traumatic than anything else they've ever gone through unless they've gone through a divorce, right? So they're going to go from being horrible, really important, really, really busy to being boom, nothing. Nobody calls and they're lonely and there's a psychological transition. So you need in your mastermind group a psychologist, a guy that understands or gal that understands the process of these people are going through, and that be part of your syndicate. That be part of your team. So that when you introduce the fact that you have a team, a virtual team that does this and helps people with this, that person is plugged in and knows that that each relationship is sacred because it's really important to somebody else. So that person has to do a good job. But, you know, everybody can be of value in that transition for that person. And that's happening all the time now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I was in our local paper, there was an article on the front page about how the auction business is changing, the auctioneering business, because most of it is it used to be a lot of farms, but now the whole nature of it has changed. The amount of family farms, quote unquote, has dropped by 40% to 50%, and they're being absorbed by these larger entities, right? And so you can't just get started farming, but you know, my clients, they rent or lease, 1500 acres from a woman who is widowed and is in turn in her 70s. And 'cause the reason why I probed that was I said, you know, why don't you know when you're going to need this money? And they said, well, here's what it is. We've got first right of refusal. But then I asked, what are land rates? What does this all look like? And they said, depends on, of course, the quality of the land, but you could be looking at somewhere between $5,000 and $7,000 an acre in land value, right? Well, you do the easy math there. That's, you know, that's $7 million on 1,000 acres that they may have to come up with. But that's $7 million that 75-year-old's estate is going to receive as well. And that made me think, well, what does this person have going on?
Right.
But then it also scared the ever living shit out of me when I went back to another client's business plan, and in there it says we are a 10,000-acre farm. 10,000 times 7,000. That's a big flippin' number.
Right. Right.
And I'm working with him on succession on that, and we're trying to figure out how to get some value out of that. But I never knew what the value of the land was. It's huge.
So you should have a realtor in there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. A realtor, an auctioneer, land lawyer, all those kinds of things, right? So.
Okay, Chrissy, this is what you're going to help him follow up on.
Okay.
Okay, I want all the names of his mastermind group.
Okay.
Now, think about it, Eric. You don't actually have to call them all. It doesn't have to be real. Pretend you're never going to call them and just build the perfect mastermind group out of what you know. Okay. Then you'll see the value of it, and then you can start making the phone calls.
Okay.
Okay, but get your arms around what it should look like. Sometimes when we figure I got to make the phone calls, you kind of put it off because you don't want to do that. You know, it's just psychological.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's the
say magic. I don't have to call these people. They're all going to be in my magical thinking. They're all going to be part of my mastermind group. So I'm just going to put their names down and their phone numbers, but I'm never going to call them.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah. And that's, you know, even, just thinking back to Napoleon Hill, right? And you mentioned that in your book as well. His mastermind group wasn't necessarily people that were alive even, right? It could be how you think those people would interact with you in that scenario. Not saying that's not an excuse for me to not call people.
No.
I'm just, But it is. It's a powerful exercise, and thank you for pointing that out.
Just go through it as if, you know, put them down and build the model.
Yeah.
Then figure out how it is that you're going, and then bite off one piece at a time. Because when you look at the whole thing, you go, "I don't know how to do this, so I'm not going to do it."
Yeah.
So instead, you just bite off one little piece at a time. Do you think this is? I'm thinking about doing this. You know, the advice model. I'm thinking about doing this. Do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah.
If you or me, how would you go about it? It's always the same. Always asking for advice. So you're always probing down. So in my little project here in the community, you know, in the United States, I'm trying to do something with diversity. I'm asking people for their advice. You know more about this than I do. And the great thing is they do.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm legitimately asking for their advice, but it would work better if, even if I knew the answers, I still shouldn't pretend that, you know, I should pretend I don't know them. Because sometimes you learn things that you didn't know and you think you know everything, you know, but you didn't know that. And the only way you found that out was because you asked for their advice. So they sprung something on you that you went, aha, that's brilliant. Okay.
Sweet.
So good. So you guys are marching on. That's good. Step by step. I like the communications. And we'll take a look at that, that idea. I dropped it out of my brain. I wrote it down here. The remarkable, wasn't that it? Remarkable.
Yeah.
Remarkable.
Yeah, remarkable. Yeah, right. Yeah, I've got it written down here as well.
Yeah.
Well, and so we're, as a direct result of working with you and Supernova, Rob, so checks cashed in the door, we're at $1 million so far. So that has paid for this entire process. And that's not new clients. That's me saying, hey, remember that money you told me about? Do you still have it? We should
just do something. Just the 1242s, right? Yeah. Just
absolutely. So. All right. So yeah, well, it's just right there. It's paid for it. So
don't keep me a secret.
No, I haven't at all. I'm showing folders around the office. I just emailed another advisor in the office, the investment implementation dashboard, because he was blown away by it. You know, things like that. So nope, I'm sharing it for sure.
All right, my friend. Thanks. Okay.
Take care.
See you.
Bye, Rob.
Bye.
Bye, Eric.
Bye. Thank you.